Today's shiur, the Daf Yomi, is Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Morris Grob, Rifal Mordechai, Rev Zalman Tzvi HaKohen, and also Le'ilu Nishmas Neir Leibowitz, Neir Ben Elimelech Halevi. All the shows we learn for seven leave from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, Kochos HaBitachon, all of those that are defending Klal Yisrael. They should be safe, they should be successful in everything that they do, to still bring back the Chatufim as soon as possible in good health, b'mehera, without any injuries, without any further damages, and Rachmon Lassan, without any further deaths. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should watch over all of Klal Yisrael in the course of our learning. Okay, we pick up on the Gemara, Kuf Omer Aleph, three lines from the top, where we continue in a discussion we had yesterday where we talked about a mumcha, an expert in coins, and whether they're valid legal tender or not, and what is the halacha. So we start off with the story of Maaseh Shaya between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. So Reish Lakish achvele dinara Rabbi Elazar. Reish Lakish showed some coins to Rabbi Elazar to make sure that they were valid tender. And Omar ma'al yahu. So Rabbi Elazar says, yes, these are valid coins, they're legal tender, you shouldn't have any problem using them. Reish Lakish cautions Rabbi Elazar. He says, "Amalei." He says, "Chazi, you should know. Look, the alcha kosamichda. I'm relying upon you, and the only reason I'm accepting these coins and I'm going to take them as payment for whatever it is that I got them for is because I'm relying upon you telling me that they're good coins." Now, Rabbi Elazar says, "So why are you telling me that?" Amalei. Rabbi Elazar says back to Reish Lakish, "Ki samcha solai ma'lemeimer. Why are you telling me that you should know that I'm trusting you to tell me that these coins are good? Is it because the mishtakach bisha beino liyachlufei loch? Because if you find them, in fact, not to be valid tender, they're not going to be good coins, so then you're going to come back to me and ask me to make up the difference? Is that what you're coming to tell me?" But that isn't the halacha. Rabbi Elazar says to Reish Lakish, "Vehoat, you yourself, who the amris that Rabbi Meir who the doyin dino de garmi, you're the one that paskins that we have only the opinion of Rav Meir who says this din of garmi, when you have a indirect causation." Remember, we discussed the difference between garmi and groma, not like Rashi who says that they're the same thing seemingly, but according to most of the other Rishonim, that groma is something that groma binizok in your potter, but garmi binizok in your chayv. It's more of a direct indirect causation. And therefore, you're the one who said that this is only the opinion of Rav Meir, the doyin dino de garmi, and therefore, are you saying that I should be chayav to you because of Rav Meir? My lav, Rav Meir, v'lo siru lon kavase. But that implies that it's only Rav Meir, the das yachid of Rav Meir, and not the opinion of the chachamim, not the majority opinion. And therefore, why should I have to pay you if, in fact, I tell you that it's legal tender and it turns out that they're actually not good coins? So Reish Lakish says, no, that's not what I said. Amalei, lo, I didn't say what you're saying. I said Rav Meir is the one who says, doin dino de gami, and in fact, usvir alon kavase, and we paskin like him, and therefore I am holding you accountable. If you're telling me that these coins are good coins, so then you should know that if they're not good coins, I'm going to come back to you and say, hey, you caused me a financial loss, pay up. So that's the conversation between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara now is going to have an aside, four cases of which is the opinion that Reish Lakish is attributing to Rav Meir. Where did he get this from that Rav Meir is the one that is doyin dino de gami? And we have a mnemonic over here. Dalid lamid mem pei is a simon. So the Gemara says, hi Rabbi Meir, which opinion of Rabbi Meir is Reish Lakish referring to that he says this is the opinion that shows that Rabbi Meir is doyin dino de gami? So we have this simon, dal maf simon. Now, maybe it's the following Mishnah. Now, Stam Mishnah is always Kirab Meir, as Tosus points out. And even though we have a Brisa as one of these four cases, we'll say that that's also clearly, Tosus is going to say, that's clearly the opinion of Rav Meir for various reasons. So in any event, all of these four Rayas are going to bring down are clearly the opinion of Rav Meir. So which Rav Meir is it that Reish Lakish says is the din of Doyin Din of the Gami? Is it this first Mishnah? This is a Mishnah that we have in Bechoros, the Tanan, it teaches us there in Bechoros, don es hadin. If a judge judges a din, but he makes a mistake, zika es hachayev. He goes and finds the one who is supposed to be chayev, he finds him in fact innocent. So he's supposed to pay money, and he says, no, you don't have to pay the money. Or chayev es hazakai. Or he finds liable the one who really was innocent, that didn't have to pay, and he says, no, you have to go and pay. Or Time es hatar, or he is metame, something that really is tar. So he paskins that it's tame when it really is tar. Or vice versa, he was tiher es hatame. He paskins something is tar and it really was tame. So the Mishnah Bechorah says, Ma she'asa asui, the din is not able to be reversed. Sometimes the din can be reversed. The Torah Bar Mishnah, sometimes they make a clear-cut mistake. The din can be reversed. But in these situations, the din cannot be reversed. And therefore, since the judge made a mistake that's irreversible, Bishale mi beso. It falls under the circumstances where the judge is held liable and he has to go and pay out of his own pocket. Mishale mi beso. Oh, so this is an indirect causation of Garmi, and you see clearly that Rav Meir seems to say that the judge is liable. So here, this is the source for Rav Meir saying, Doyin Dino de Garmi. Now, there are a number of things over here that need to be clarified, which we'll clarify in a moment. Let's just finish off this little proof. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. Hoyit ma'alah, because we already said about this Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yilah, in the name of Rav, explained that this Mishnah is talking about the reason why the judge is chayiv here is not because it's an indirect, direct causation, it's because it's an absolutely direct causation. Hu shenotal v'nosan biyad. He took the item himself and gave it over from the party that was supposed to have it, and he instead directly gave it over to the other party that wasn't supposed to have it. And Rashi gives us the example in Dibra Maskel, Shinosan Denosan Biyad. So what did he do? For example, in the case of Ezekiel Esachayev, he made the one who was really Chayev not have to pay. So for example, Shahayalo Mashkon Lemilve, there was a Mashkon that the Lova had given to the Milve to be the collateral for the loan if he couldn't pay it back. So what did he do? This mashkon that was there, he took it, the notal dayon lemashkon, the dayon took that collateral from Shimon's possession, right? Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and he gave the collateral to Shimon. And now the dayon paskin that Reuven didn't owe the money, for whatever the reason, and he took with his own hand the collateral back from Shimon, v'chziru lelova, and he gave it back to Reuven, the borrower. So that's an example where he did it directly by hand. What's the other way around? V'chiyev es zakai. If he obligated the one that really was not obligated, so notal biyad momon min hanitva v'shilim latoveya. So Reuven is saying that he doesn't owe the money to Shimon, but the judge incorrectly paskin that Reuven does owe the money to Shimon, and the judge took the money from Reuven and gave it to Shimon. So that's where he notal v'nosam biyad. What about the case of Vitime es ha-tohar? He was metame something that really was tar. So that means, not al sheretz biyadayim. So he claimed that it was tame, and he says, I'll show you that it's tame by taking a sheretz, and he was now metameated again. So now everybody agreed that it's tame, but it really was tohar. So he himself made it tame. Vizarku ale litamo. He took the sheretz and made this thing that really was tar, which he had paskined incorrectly that was tame. He now vaday made it tame. And therefore, he did it with his hands. And he did this l'achzik dvaru, to show how right he was. But in fact, he was wrong. And what's the final case? V'tir es ha-tomei. He was matar something that really was tomei. So notal hadayin l'peros tomein. He took these peros that really were tomei, which he mistakenly said were tar, and he now mixed them, the arvon, imshar peros so ish. And he mixed it with other tahar fruit. So he said, look, this is definitely tar, and I'm mixing it with the other tahar fruit. And in this situation, so they now are mixed in with the really tame fruit. So therefore, he caused them all now to be considered tame. So in all of these situations, he directly, with his own hands, caused this damage. And therefore, it's not a doyin dino de garmi. This is an actual direct masik. Now, Tosus points out in this last case over here that if something is really tame, how, if you are mitayrit, are you able to say, well, it is not tame? As Tosu says in Dibra Maskel, Tir es hatome, he says, Iev sholi yashev Tir es hatome, there's no way to go and reconcile the fact that he made tar something that was tome, bishwaminyan. It really was tome, so how do you go and say that he made it tar? So it must be that he mixed it. Tosu says later on in this Dibra Maskel that he took such a large amount of tar that he was mevatel the tumah that was there. Now normally you're not allowed to be mevatel issa l'chatchila, but here, since he said it was tar, so he went and mixed it with such a large amount of real tar that he actually made it no longer tame. It was batel in this larger rove. And therefore, that's how you have this scenario that he was mitar es hatame. In any event, Tosos Adira Maskul, time es hatar, he gives an additional comment on this. And he says, even though Avol Gabdi Omar Bani Zok, even though we learn in Gittin, on Daf Nun Beis Omid Beis, Hamitame, if somebody is Mitame something with his own hands, Vamitameya, he mixes a Truma and chulin together in a format where it's not mevatel. Well, menasip, where somebody goes and takes wine and makes it into yai nesach. So if he did this b'shogeg, we said there you're potter. So here, hocha isle l'chiyuve, here we're mechayev over here, even though afogag de b'shogeg, who the judge was not doing this maliciously, he did this by accident, but the reason why, in fact, it is Tomei over here, why each of these situations he's chayev, is mehayi taima, the mechayev hasim b'mezin, because there, we were mechayev, he did it b'mezin. So there's two reasons why. L'man d'yomer hezek she'ein nikar losh mehezek. According to Man d'yomer, it says, if something's not recognizable, it's not considered damage. So if you make something Tomei, it's not considered damage. Make something yayin esek, it's not considered damage because you can't recognize it. Kidei shlo yei kol echav yechod hol echav mitamei tarosov shol chaveiro. So there, the reason why it was a knas, it was a gzeira, the rabbi said, if we don't make you liable, then people can just go and be mitamei and menasech and the dameya, other people's stuff without any concerns whatsoever. So therefore, they put in basically a knas, a takana, that if you do this b'shogeg, you're going to be chayev in order that people don't do it b'mezin and say they did a b'shogeg. And therefore, hochanami chayev, kidei she'edakdek b'din yofa. And this is to spur the judge to really look into it carefully, not to make a mistake. And even according to Man d'yomer, nami shmei hezek, that it is considered hezek, even though it's not nikar. And therefore, b'shogeg is potter, a shogeg therefore is potter because we don't have to make such a gzeira. The reason why the shogeg is potter is because kidei she'odiyu, because we want him to go and admit, because if he was going to be chayev, he's not going to admit that it really was tamei. So therefore, we want him to spur him to not hide the fact that it was tamei. So here, nevertheless, hocha chayev. Why? Because delek lemeishach lochi, here we're not concerned that he won't go and admit it, because the last line of Tosa says that this dying is a tamachocham. Ubala ra, he's a big posek. And vada yodienu, we're not afraid that he's not going to tell us the truth. And therefore, if he was mitamei, he is going to tell us, and we don't have to worry that he's going to not lie. He's not going to tell us, he's going to lie, because he doesn't want to go and pay. Okay, the bottom line is, this was the first attempt to show that Rav Meir holds Doin Dino de Garmi, but as it turned out, this was directly Nasa and the Natal Biyad, and therefore, it's not an example of Doin Dino de Garmi. So now we go to the next case, El Hadar Rav Meir. It's the following case, it's not. This is a Mishnah that we've been referring to several times already, and with Be'ez Hashem, we're going to finally get to it in the second part of today's share, because it's on Kuf Omid Beis. And this is a Mishnah that says, Litzboa lo Odom, that a person gave over his wool to a person to dye it, to color it, and he told him, instructed him to go and make it red, but instead, utzvo shachar, he made it black, or vice versa. He told him, instructed him to go and make it black, shachar, utzvo, but he dyed it, odom, red. So Rav Meir is going to tell us in that Mishnah on Amud Beis, Rav Meir Omer, no sin lo d'meit samuel. He just has to go pay him for the wool. He doesn't have to go pay him for the increased amount that the wool is now worth because it's dyed red, albeit incorrectly, or black, albeit incorrectly. He just has to pay him for the wool. Now, this seems to be a perfectly good case of doin dino de garmi. Now, why is this not called a direct damage? So Tosus points out, because it takes a little while. Mishum de'ein hatzemim mishtanim miyad. In Tosus Dibur Maskul, shiny hossam says the wool doesn't instantly become black or instantly become red. It has to soak and sit in the dye for a day or two. And therefore, he's not doing it directly with his hands. Kishinosim v'samamonim de'ein kolet hatseva miyad ad beiz yomim or ad gimel yomim. It takes 2 or 3 days for the dye to really take. And therefore, this is only garmi, groma bi'almahu. And therefore, this seems to be the example where Rav Meir holds doin dino de garmi. So the Gemara says, lav davka here as well. Hasam ko ovid bi'adayim. Because here, this is not a case of garmi. He did this with his hands. He put the dye and the wool together. So therefore, this is not garmi, this is direct mazik, and that's why he is chayev. Try again. Elohad the Rav Meir. It's the following case of Rav Meir. This is a Mishnah from Kilayim. It says there in the Mishnah Kilayim. If you, of course, not allowed to go and have vine and produce growing together, so if you have a wheat and a vineyard together, so that's the is of kilayim. So hamisachech gafno al gabe tuas shel chaveru. If you go and spread your vines over on top of the wheat of your friend, so harei ze kidesh. This is called kilayim. Kidesh Rashi in the Gemara in Yevamos reminds us this lashon of kidesh is pentikdash. There's a pasuk in Devarim, and it says, Asar tuas chaveiro, you made your friend's tua asar over here. When it grows another 1 in 200, so then it's going to be asar v'chayev l'shalim, and therefore you have to go and pay. Now, since you're not making kilayim right away, it still has to grow. So isn't this an example of doin dinu de garmi and hareze kidish v'chayev? And here's our raya that Rav Meir holds like this. And Gemara says again, no. Hasam nami ko'ovid biyodayim. This is a case where you're directly doing it yourself. You spread over the vine, over your friend's grain. So this is not garmi, this is actual mazik, and that's why you have to pay. You can't bring a sarai from here that Rav Meir is doin dinu de garmi. Now this is exactly the same case as the one that we had a moment ago with the wool, and Tosfos says, no, there's a bigger chiddush over here because it grows by itself. With the wool, you had to actually do something, but here it grows by itself. Nevertheless, in both cases, this is called direct damage. So finally, we get to the fourth and final case of Rav Meir, which is the proof that Rav Meir does, in fact, hold Doyin Dino de Garmi, and that's Elohar Rabbi Meir. Tosfos says this is a brisa, but Tosfos proves this brisa is also the opinion of Rav Meir in the bottom Tosos, and he says, the Tanya, we learned in this brisa, if you have a mechitza between a kerem and a grain field. Now, the halacha is that you have to separate them normally by 4 amos. But if you have a wall in between them, then you no longer have to separate them. The wall clearly demarcates where there's grain and where there's a vine. And the Gemara there tells us that it's the obligation of the one with the vineyard to go and put up the wall. Otherwise, he has to move away from the border 4 amos. So, in that brayse, it tells us, Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza. There was a wall between the vineyard and the grain field. And therefore, you could each side could plant right up to the wall. So the guy with the tvua planted right up to the wall on his side, and the vineyard was right up to the wall on his side. But then that wall fell down, and it's the obligation of the owner of the vineyard to go put it back up. We turn to Kuf Amud Beis. So Omer Lo, so the owner of the grain, the field, says to the owner of the vineyard, go and fix the wall. Omer lo gidar. And so Rashi says, Shalo Yosef Atvua Echad Mimasayim Ba'od HaMechitza Prutza B'Teyoser. So it doesn't grow an additional 1 in 200 because that's the shear of Kilayim. So if it grows 1 in 200, so then there will be an Isser of Kilayim. So he tells him, go fix it before there becomes an Isser of Kilayim. And the guy fixes it. And then it breaks again. The wall breaks. He didn't do a great job of fixing the wall. Nifritza, it breaks again. So Omer lo. So the person has to tell him, gidar, go and fix it again. Some suggest it was the Beis Din that said this. In any event, Nisyayish Mimeno Velo Gidara, if, however, the owner of the vineyard said, that's it, I'm tired of fixing this wall, and he doesn't fix the wall anymore, so then he is held liable. Hare Ze Kidesh. Now here, the wall broke on its own. He didn't break the wall, and therefore he didn't do anything but you're dying. Yet, he is held accountable. Hare Ze Kidesh. He is Chayiv, V'Chayiv B'Achriyuso. So the owner of the vineyard, because the wall fell down, since it was his obligation to put up the wall or to distance it Dalet Amos, and now it's within Dalet Amos, and there is no wall there, but since he didn't destroy the wall by himself, this is a case of Garmi. Ah, and you clearly see that the author of this brisa, which Tosfos says, is Rav Meir, therefore holds Doyin Dino de Garmi, and here's a raya that, in fact, Rav Meir is the opinion that says Doyin Dino Garmi, and that's why Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Elazar that Rav Meir holds Dino de Garmi. Okay, now we start the famous Mishnah that we've been referring to so many times in the last couple of days. The Mishnah tells us, Hanosein Samuel Latzaba. If a person gives his wool to the one who dyes the wool, the tzaba, the dyer, the higdicho yore, and he does a very poor job, and he goes and causes the wool to burn. Rashi says, Sarfaso yore, shersicho yosemidai. The pot burned up all the wool. He set it too high. He had the flame too high on the pot, and it burned up all the wool. There is no wool left in the first case here in the Mishnah. The wool is destroyed. So the Mishnah tells us, no silo de meit samro. So the dyer has to go pay the guy who gave him the wool because he destroyed his wool. He has to give him the value of the wool. So it's $100 worth of wool. He has to give $100. Sivo ko'ur. Rashi tells us that if he dyed it ko'ur, ko'ur with an aleph is the same meaning as ku'ur with an ayin, which means not very well. It means it was done very, very lousy. So he dyed it very lousy. Ko'ur, disgusting. Shetzvo bishiyare tseva. As the Gemara will explain at the very end of today's shir, we'll see in a moment, that the tseva was from like the residue, the remnants of the dye, and therefore it didn't absorb well. So he dyed it very poorly. In this situation, it's as if he's mazik bikavonahu. Since he uses this lousy dye, it's as if he intentionally dyes it poorly, and therefore, yodo ala tachtona, Rashi says, divrei hakol. Everybody's going to agree. We'll see in a moment that machlokes with Meir and Yehuda, but not over here. Here, everybody, Meir and Yehuda, would all agree that this dyer who used this very poor dye, the residue, the remains, the remnant of the dye, so he's going to be held liable. So in what way is he held liable? If he does it this ku'ur, this lousy dyeing. So it depends. If the wool, even though it's been poorly dyed, is now still worth more than the amount that the dye costs him. So let's say the dye costs him $10, but the wool improved by $20 now that it's dyed, albeit it's dyed poorly. If he dyed it properly, it would have gone up $50, but it only went up $20 because he dyed it poorly. But the cost of this poor dye, of the residue, the remnant dye, was only $10. So if the shevach, the 20, is yosir al yitzia, is more than the 10, so then, notzi lo asay yitzia, the one who owns the wool only has to pay him for the 10 of the dye expense. Doesn't have to pay him the 20 for the benefit that the wool is now worth 120 rather than it's being worth 150. It's only worth 120. But since the person who dyed it only put in 10 to actually make the dye, this poor dye, so he only has to pay him the 10. No sin lo say yitzia. On the other hand, in my yitzia, yisera l'shevach, if it was really $20 worth of yitzia, that's how much the poor dye cost, and it only went up to $10 more, so it's only worth 110. So even though he put in $20 worth of dye, he only has to pay him, no sin lo shevach, he only has to pay him the extra $10 that it's now worth. That is the opinion of our Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, and this is now the case that we've had many times already. If the guy who gives the wool to the dyer says, please color it red, litzpolo odom, make it red, but by mistake, he makes it black, utzvo shachar, or vice versa, shachar utzvo edom. He tells him to make the wool black, but instead he dyes it red. So here we have the machlokas Rameir Yehuda. Rameir Omer, no sin lo dumei tzamro. All he has to do is pay him for the wool, even though it's now worth much more. He dyed it well, albeit the wrong color. It's worth 150. Nevertheless, Rameir says he is a ganav. He's as if he was an intentional ganav, and therefore he is konet with this shinui, and therefore all he has to do, since he can't return it extant, all he has to do is go give him back the money of the wool. So he has to give him $100 for the value of the wool. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Im hashevach yoser al yitzia, if it went up to 150 and it only cost him 20 for the dye, so then all he has to do is pay him, no sein lo es hayitzia. All he has to do is pay him the 20 for the actual expenses of the dye. Even though it's worth 150, he only has to give him now 20. Because that's how much he actually put into it, the extra 20. But let's say it cost him $30 of dye, and it only went up to 120, it only went up $20 in value, then all he has to do, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is no sin lo asa shevach. All he has to do is go give him what it benefited to 120, but he doesn't have to pay him the 30 for the actual expenses of the 30 that he put in. What's the reasoning of Rav Yehuda? So Rashi tells us the konisle that Rav Yehuda says it's a knas. Yes, I agree, he's like a ganav, and technically the din should be like Rav Meir said. However, we don't want this guy to benefit. This ganav over here, this inadvertent ganav that he took the dye and colored it the wrong color, so he's making out real well. He got the wool for 100, it's now worth 150. So therefore, Rashi explains Rav Yehuda, the konisle lahai deshina lios yodo ala tachtona. We make the dyer come out with his hand on the bottom. We don't want him to benefit. Velo nisnai mishvacha. We don't want him to benefit over here from the fact that he made the wool the wrong color dye, and it's like a sinner coming to benefit from his sin. So the agra nami kuli lo yishko. We don't make the person who owned the wool pay him the full fee that he normally would have to pay. Let's say he'd only have to pay him $40. For his work. So we don't make him pay him the full $40. All he has to do is pay either the yitzia or the shevach, whichever one is less. So this is a knas that Rav Yehuda instituted over here. He really passes like Rav Meir that the guy is a ganav and he acquired the wool. But we don't want this ganav, this sinner, the choti, to be maskir. So therefore, we go and give a knas here and say all he's entitled to is the lesser of the two, either the yitzia, the expenses of the dye, or the shevach if that was less than the yitzia. So that's our Mishnah, the Machlos in Rameh Yehuda. Nadi Gemara is just going to conclude and say, what exactly do we mean when we said ku'ur with an olive? It means ku'ur with an ayin, and we said that it means it's a poor dye. So my ku'ur, Gemara says, what exactly does it mean when I said ku'ur? Some Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, I'm a Rabbi Baruchana. In the name of Rabbi Baruchana, it means kalbus. It means that he dyed it with something called kalbus. What is kalbus? My kalbus. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Bar Shmuel, and we turn to kuf aleph, omer aleph. This kalbus is Kafra dudi. Rashi says, kineach boas hayore, he wiped up the bottom of the pot that had the good dyes in it, and kolomar bishiyare tseva. This is the remnant, the residue dye, shenishtayru biyore, that's left in the pot after he had already gone and used this dye for other wool or for other dyeing reasons. And Rashi says, kufra is lashon kinuach. It means to wipe up. Which means that it's what's left over in the bottom of the pot, he's using that to go and dye with, and it's not a very good dye, and therefore it does an inadequate job. Ka'ur with an aleph or with an ayin, it does a lousy job. This is a good breakpoint. It's a really short shiur today. Give people an opportunity to chazer it over and see inside all the rashis and even the tosis in that we didn't get a chance to do. Have a wonderful day.